Well, it feels like the world is going mad all around us. Fear not. Your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity is right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, some years ago when we were expanding our radio broadcast to reach many more stations and many more people, each of you, around the country, I was talking with a radio leader, executive with Christian Radio, and he said, well, what's your burden? Well, why are you on the air? And I said, well, I serve as a voice of moral clarity and spiritual sanity, or a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church in compromise. He got it. He understood it. When folks began to listen to the show regularly as we expanded some years back, and they said, hey, we just want to tweak the introduction a little bit. How about we introduce you as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution? I said, that's who I am. That's my burden. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm on the air. My joy, friends, to serve in that capacity today. This is Michael Brown. And Nancy and I, my wife Nancy and I, will talk, and next month is our 40th anniversary, amazingly enough. We met at the age of 19 and got married within a couple of years after that. Oh, number to call to join in the conversation today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So we'll often talk about things, and we both get grieved about it. She'll say, have you seen this report? Did you see this in the news? I said, no, I missed that. And she'll play it for me. Or we'll look at an article. She'll send it to me. Next thing, I get stirred, but by God's grace, I have an outlet. If I feel burdened, if I get past just being annoyed in a fleshly way and I feel burdened, I can now do something. I can sit down at my computer and write an article, and boom, we've got it out, speaking to people around the world. And then yesterday, just so grieved over more junk from CNN and either complete denial of reality on their part or blatant lying to cover their tracks. I was so grieved. Sunday afternoon, Super Bowl Sunday, I preached in the morning and got home in the afternoon, and we sat down together just in my phone, not in a professional way, not with all the video extras and graphics, sat down and recorded a video exposing further the hypocrisy of CNN and calling them out for what's either absolute self-deception and denial or blatant lying on their part. By the way, there are quite a few others who are weighing in similar ways. And then every day, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, I get to sit here behind this desk, behind this mic, and to speak not only to you, but for you, to articulate the things that are bothering you, to give voice to them. And in that way, by God's grace, I can serve as your voice, because God's given me this great platform. So thank you for being part of it. Before we talk about a litany of outrageous things today on The Line of Fire, let me ask you this. If you watched the Super Bowl yesterday and watched the halftime show, did it strike you as sending out a gay message? Did you think, what? Did they just light the whole stadium up in rainbow colors? Remember, this took place in San Francisco. Did they light this up in rainbow colors? You've got Lady Gaga, Beyonce, famous LGBT allies, Lady Gaga in particular, famous for her Born That Way song. Was this an intentional message, believe in love, with the whole stadium lit up in rainbow colors? Or is the rainbow just going back to some other imagery or the 60s or something like that? I'm just curious if you watch that, because we watch the game as a family, but then don't watch halftime, because a lot of the shows, halftime shows are really grungy. So when we know it was over, then we got back on and hung out and watched the game. But if you were watching, I'm just curious. Did you think, what are they doing? Or you think it's crazy to read that in? I'm just curious. 866-348-7884. We come back from CNN to NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Activist League, Action League. Yikes.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Chris Moody sends out two clarifying tweets. CNN sends out no such information on TV. Who's giving out the misleading information? CNN. Jason Osborne from Carson's campaign twice says our man is not dropping out. What fires is he trying to put out? The one started by CNN.
That is from the video we recorded at my home yesterday where I call out CNN. Now, could you work with me on this? Could you help me help get the truth out? And again, thereby, I serve as your voice because we've articulated this on video. I'm not yelling or screaming or calling names in a calm, rational way. I'm exposing the deception and even lies of CNN. 866-34-TRUTH. Here's how you help. Just go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest video, and then you'll just look there for the one where I call out CNN and click on that and then share it. That's all you have to do. Share it with others. Watch it so you have the information, and then share it. Tweet it out. Share it on Facebook. Email your friends. If you're part of a church community, you've got a church email list, send it out. Let us hold them accountable. Now, I want to say this. I reached out to CNN, to several different individuals. I was referred to folks in the PR department. I sought to interact with them at length. The interaction was thoroughly disappointing. Not only did I not get the information I was asking for, a simple question, please tell me when you updated your viewers on this critical piece of information, because they never did. That was the whole problem. They didn't do that. But to just be kind of dissed, this wasn't worth my time and so on, when they were the ones covering their tracks, thoroughly disappointing. Honestly, as I told one individual, I expect it better. Because I haven't just written them off, well, they're only biased and then this and that. Well, yeah, I assume CNN's biased and Fox is biased and MSNBC is biased. And hey, one of the questioners who was pushing Senator Cruz, Marsha Raddatz, at the ABC debate, New Hampshire debate Saturday night. She's a close friend of the Obama family. I understand that President Obama attended her wedding. Is she unbiased? It didn't seem unbiased. But when you present yourself as if you are unbiased, that's what concerns me. In other words, if you get it on my show and you say, well, Mike, I mean, you're a strong conservative, you're a strong believer in Jesus, or you're strongly biased towards God and Scripture. Yeah, correct. I do my best to report things fairly and accurately, but yeah, of course, I recognize that. I understand that. But when you interact with people as if, no, we are perfectly accurate and not responsible for any wrong notions whatsoever. Then you think, are you kidding me? Especially when you point it out, when you lay it out. Are you kidding me? 866-34-TRUTH. So I'm speaking about the accusation that Senator Cruz lied to the public at the debate, the New Hampshire debate, Saturday night. Now, I want to say this again. I've personally endorsed Senator Cruz, but this radio show is not designed to promote Senator Cruz. You say, well, why have you had Rafael Cruz on? Because he wrote a book, and his publicist reached out and said, would you like to have him on the show? I said, absolutely. And I've told folks from other campaigns, get your guys on the show. I'm glad to talk to them, be it the political candidate themselves or be it someone in the campaign. Glad to. And the reason I raise strong concerns about Donald Trump is not because he's the front runner ahead of Cruz, but because I have genuine concerns. In other words, I'm not using the show today to bash Marco Rubio for that part in the debate where Chris Christie really demolished him. My goal is not to do that or to say, hey, you know, Jeb Bush did this, you know, and well, he could be competing with Cruz. No, you know, Jeb Bush had some good lines there. Donald Trump had some good lines. Marco Rubio had some great pro-life lines at the end of the debate. Senator Cruz had some very strong lines. On the show, I'm going to report things and discuss them. Same with my articles. My issue here is not whether Senator Cruz's people should have sent out information about the Carson campaign without verifying it as soon as Ted Cruz found out what happened, because some of it ended up going out that was not just what CNN reported, but went beyond it. That was false. Yeah, he apologized for it. Shouldn't have happened. He regrets it. Okay, we move on. But CNN continues to misrepresent things. Now, I asked a question earlier. I'm going to come back to it in a little while. If you watched the Super Bowl yesterday and watched the halftime show, did you think there was a specific gay activist message being sent out with the words, believe in love, with a rainbow flag lighting up the stadium, or I should say rainbow colors lighting up the stadium? Just curious what your impressions were. 866-348-7884. Okay, Joey, let's grab clip number four. Excuse me, clip number five. Clip number five. This is Ted Cruz at the Republican debate, the New Hampshire debate, Saturday night, responding to the question of what happened with spreading the information that Dr. Carson was taking a break from his campaign or suspending his campaign or even dropping out of the race. What happened? Clip number five.
Ben is a good and honorable man, and Ben and Candy have become friends. He has an amazing life story that has inspired millions, including me. When this transpired, I apologized to him then, and I do so now. Ben, I'm sorry. Let me tell you the facts of what occurred for those who are interested in knowing. On Monday night, about 6:30 p.m., CNN reported that Ben was not going from Iowa to New Hampshire or South Carolina. Rather, he was, quote, taking a break from campaigning. They reported that on television. CNN's political anchors, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash and Wolf Blitzer, said it was highly unusual and highly significant. My political team saw CNN's report breaking news, and they forwarded that news to our volunteers. It was being covered on live television. Now, at the time, I was at the caucuses. I was getting ready to speak at the caucuses, just like Ben was, just like everyone else was. I knew nothing about this. A couple hours later, I found out about it. I was told that Ben was unhappy. I called him that evening because I respect him very, very highly. I didn't reach him that evening. I reached him the next day and apologized. He asked me then, he said, Ted, would you make this apology in public? I said, yes, I will. And I did so. I regret that subsequently CNN reported on that. They didn't correct that story until 9:15 that night. So from 6:30 p.m. to 9:15, that's what CNN was reporting. Subsequent to that initial report, Ben's campaign put out a statement saying that he was not suspending his campaign. I wish that our campaign staff had forwarded that statement. They were unaware of it. I wish that they had. That's why I apologized.
All right. So everything that Ted Cruz said right there to me is completely accurate. Completely accurate. I've got timelines of all of this. I go through it on the video as well. Well, let's go to clip number four. This is CNN correspondent Tom Foreman. He absolutely rejects this, absolutely rejects it, and outright calls Ted Cruz a liar. Number four.
Yes, our on-air people came on and they talked about this. They said it's an unusual move by Ben Carson or any presidential candidate to not go directly on to New Hampshire. But again, in no way, shape, or form did they say that Ben Carson was dropping out of the race. Executives from CNN have been over this timeline with people from Cruz's campaign. The campaign has been called out for its dishonest handling of this information by Politico, PolitiFact, The Washington Post, and many others. And yet, once again, Ted Cruz stood on stage tonight and suggested that somehow this is based on what CNN did, and all CNN did was report the facts. His claim is false. It was false from the get-go, and it remains false.
Nonsense, Tom Foreman. Absolute nonsense. Listen, I've got a great platform here with radio and writing, but I challenge CNN to bring me on to debate these issues. Or you come on my show, anyone you want, Tom Foreman or anyone else that was involved with this, let's discuss the facts. I'm going to give you the details and the facts. But here, just looking at some articles, this is the Weekly Standard, respected publication. PolitiFact attacks Ted Cruz for accurately quoting CNN at debate. Daily Wire, another widely read website. CNN started the Carson dropout rumor. Now they're lying about it to Bash. Here's another Tea Party type guy in New Zealand. To maintain credibility, CNN must apologize publicly to Ted Cruz. Absolutely right. And the question that nobody at CNN would answer or could answer is this. If you had information from your man, Chris Moody, that said, one, Ben Carson is taking a break and will not be going to New Hampshire or South Carolina. Instead, he'll be going to D.C. Two, Ben Carson is not suspending his campaign. His people want to know that. Why, CNN, on TV, when you had that information, did you only report the first part that he was taking a break, and you called it twice breaking news, three times very unusual news, one time very significant news? Why did you not give the rest of the information? Because people heard that, and they said, what is going on? CNN says this is major, very unusual, breaking news, very significant news. And they didn't give the rest of the information for several hours. Why? It's on CNN. Guilty as charged.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I will come back to the CNN issue in a moment. And again, we'll continue to expose their lies. This has nothing to do with whether Dr. Carson sent out mixed signals by not going straight to New Hampshire. This has nothing to do with whether Ted Cruz's campaign should have sent out information. Again, Ted Cruz has apologized numerous times for wrong information that went out. Again, all unbeknownst to him when it was happening. And this has nothing to do with whether CNN should have reported anything. It has to do with who is at fault for not giving a full and clear report and sending out the incomplete message for the world to see. It is CNN, and it is CNN only, that bears that responsibility. Oh, there's also discussion and Twitter feeds and things like that that say that Marco Rubio's campaign pushed this out. When they learned it from CNN, they pushed it out as well. Dr. Carson's taking a break. Dr. Carson's getting out of the race. How come his campaign isn't being vilified for it? That's another question. But certainly, it's not to say I agree with Ted Cruz or not in terms of whether it should have gone out. He said he regrets it. He apologized. Okay? It is CNN that's culpable. Before we get to that, I want to get to your calls. If you watched the halftime show during the Super Bowl yesterday, which I did not, did it strike you as sending out a gay message? And I'm looking at a website, advocate.com, which is the flagship gay activist publication. 8 Super Bowl moments LGBTs are still talking about. I think it may be time for the many Christian players in the NFL to say, hey, we're not asking for you to have Bibles up during the halftime show and be singing hymns or have a preacher preach, but this is outrageous, and we're going to boycott. We're going to boycott the game until you become neutral on the culture wars. Wouldn't that be sweet? 866-34-TRUTH. We start in Queens, New York. Nancy, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. I used to be from Manhattan.
I remember the Nancy from Manhattan, the nurse, the pro-life nurse.
Yes, I am. And because of that, everything you've been talking about, I got something to say, but I'm going to stick to the game. I did see that, but I wasn't sure in the beginning because, you know, the way they had the flowers stacked on the stage, I said, oh, that might be a Bollywood thing that they're doing, you know, because I know that they, you know, like the Indian culture, and I thought maybe that might be what it was, like an Indian hippie kind of thing. But then when that person wiped his brow with the flag, I'm like, well, who is this guy? Because I wasn't familiar with the band at all. And then when I saw that, you know, I said, maybe. But I know that in reality, the man is married to Gwyneth Paltrow. So, you know, I don't know. The Lady Gaga thing, I don't read anything into that. In fact, I thought she did a beautiful job with this.
She did a great job singing it. Yeah, I mean, I just looked at her as someone singing it and the quality of her voice. And that was one of the best renditions I've heard. But interestingly, for many gay activists, that was sending a message. I didn't take it like that either. And again, I didn't see the halftime show. Someone just tweeted and said, hey, listen, you know, if you knew the whole history of the Coldplay song, that you'd understand it had nothing to do with gay activism. I said, hey, just tell me why gay activists are celebrating. But thanks for weighing in, Nancy. God bless you. I appreciate it. By the way, I don't have an axe to grind here. I don't have a point to prove. I'm asking if you watched it, if it struck you as being a clear gay celebration or sending out a message, believe in love. Let's go to Washington, D.C. Teresa, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
You're not reading anything into it. I was watching the halftime show, and my fiancé was on the couch seat. And when it came on, when the stage getting the light all up, I looked at him. I said, is this a gay actress thing?
Mm.
So, yes, it was strategically done. Their PR person done what they set out to prove, that we are here, we're bold, and we're showing it. And the people of God, if they're not paying attention, it's the little subtle things that the devil used to trip us up. So, yes, that was the gay rights thing that was going on that stage.
Got it. Hey, you know, let's just say this. If someone, you've got people that are media savvy, you've got many of these entertainers are very, very gay activist friendly. The idea that they wouldn't realize that millions of people would take it a certain way, that would be hard to believe. So either they sent the message directly or they knew what it would mean. Hey, Teresa, thank you for weighing in. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. You had to time that with Believe in Love. Hey, folks brought it to my attention. Bringing it to your attention. We go to Winchester, Virginia. Shante, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I did watch it, obviously, since that's what you were asking, but
yeah.
I didn't see that. As I'm listening to the other caller and hearing what you were saying about the website and different things like that, I could see where someone would read into that, and I think a lot of times that the world and different environments choose to just kind of take what they want to get out of it, and they can make a big deal out of it from that point. I thought it was just like, you know, pastels as far as like, you know, kind of a hippie kind of a look to it, especially with the flowers and different things like that. So I immediately did not think that it would go towards gay rights.
Got it. Hey, I appreciate you weighing in. And thus far with our callers, we've got two not seeing it, one seeing it clearly. And that's kind of what I'm hearing from others. But thank you very much for weighing in. Much appreciated. Yep. And sorry to cut you off in the middle of a word there. I'm looking at, let's see, the outsports.com website, which is a gay activist website. They're celebrating it. Believe in Love. Perfect theme for a memorable Super Bowl halftime show. The rainbow colors were a sign that love is a wonderful thing. Love is bright, vibrant, incredible, and beautiful. And that is why I feel the LGBT symbol is a rainbow. It's because that is what we want to preach and promote. Love is powerful and beautiful. It's all something everyone deserves to fight for and believe in. Just giving you different perspectives. Yeah, Peyton, here's more from Outsports. Peyton Manning at Peace and notes from the gayest Super Bowl ever. The gayest Super Bowl ever. That's how they're reporting it. Hey, listen, friends, please give me your best ear for 1 minute. I'm going to continue dealing with CNN, exposing them in the next half hour. You can listen online. If you're losing a radio signal, ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Just click on Listen Live. But please give me your best ear just for a minute. We have put together a special offer this week, but I really want to ask for your help, okay? We have a special offer this week with my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, a book that the publishers were afraid to touch. And we've put it together in a special package. We've reduced the price for you. And if you could join with us, we have an opportunity to send copies of one of my key books to legislators in one state that are right in the midst of debating issues happening, having to do with gay activism and the loss of religious freedoms. It is specifically what they are debating, what they are discussing, all right? And my book has played a key role already with a number of the legislators, and they want more of the books because they think it could really be of tremendous help. So if you could go to the website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, check out our special offer with A Queer Thing Happened to America. And when you get it, help us with an additional gift. It's a critical time. We want to be a blessing to another state. So stand with us today. Would you do that? AskDrBrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's just finish this up with CNN, all right? Let's finish this up, and then we'll come back and get your discussion about the halftime show at the Super Bowl. And let me, again, make clear that I'm asking a question. I didn't see it myself. I have seen the write-ups about it, but I have not watched a video of the halftime show. There is an explanation for the colors going back to Coldplay, the band that played, and their album, and imagery behind it. But I'm just looking at gay activist websites that are celebrating the moment, that are saying what a great moment it was. They saw the message, believe in love. They saw the rainbow colors. They knew the whole Super Bowl, the advertising and various people involved, very gay-friendly, overt gay messages. That's how they're taking it. So are they all reading into something that's not there? clip number six. This is Brooke Baldwin on CNN. This is what prompted me to write my initial article late last week on CNN's Hypocrisy Exposed. Clip number six.
Just so we're all crystal clear here, when Senator Cruz, with all due respect, tries to throw my network and CNN under the bus, let me stand up for my colleagues and my journalists here in terms of this CNN report that he keeps quoting that he believes what we never said with regard to Dr. Carson's campaign and going to Florida. Let me be precise in case this is seen again. We reported it accurately, and here are the facts. Dr. Carson's staff told us that he would return home to Florida to, quote unquote, take a breath from the campaign before resuming his activities on the campaign trail. That accurate report was disseminated on television and CNN Digital, and that was that. That was that. Congressman Meadows, let me just bring you back in. Forgive me. When somebody tries to take down the media and misreport something, it gets me a little fired up.
Fired up. Fired up. Brooke, look in the mirror and get fired up. Your network misled the public. Let's go through the chronology. 6:43 p.m. Central Standard Time. Your own Chris Moody tweets out this. Carson won't go to New Hampshire, South Carolina, but instead will head home to Florida for some R&R. He'll be in D.C. Thursday for the National Prayer Breakfast. Followed by, Ben Carson's campaign tells me he plans to stay in the race beyond Iowa no matter what the results are tonight. What does CNN report on TV right at that moment? They call it breaking news twice. They call it very unusual news three times. They call it very significant news one time. What do they report? Dr. Ben Carson will not be going on to New Hampshire. If you want to be the president, you don't do this. This is the end of the story. You're just saying you don't want to be the president. Very unusual, very significant, breaking news. Well, hang on. You had the second tweet. Ben Carson's campaign tells me he plans to stay in the race beyond Iowa no matter what the results are tonight. CNN, did you tell the public about the second tweet? No. Well, we didn't have to say he wasn't suspending his campaign. Well, hang on. Your own man felt it necessary to clarify that. And then 10 minutes later, Jason Osborne, a senior strategist with the Carson campaign, he tweets out, Dr. Carson is not dropping out. Why? Because of the CNN TV report. Did CNN immediately say, breaking news, clarify? No, well, we never said he was dropping out. Well, you raised the issue and implied it, and a lot of people watching thought that's what was going on. And your own man felt it necessary 45 minutes later to send out again. And Jason Osborne from Carson's campaign, again, they both sent out messages saying Carson is not dropping out. Why were they putting out all those fires? Because of the CNN TV report. Dana Bash and Wolf Blitzer. Take responsibility. And what did Ted Cruz say at the debate? We saw the report on TV and shared the news that he was taking a break. That was accurate. Then, as it snowballed, more news was shared by the Cruz campaign saying that he was dropping out or suspending his campaign. That was completely inaccurate. And again, Ted Cruz, when he found out about it, apologized for it. But the guilt is with CNN. The responsibility is with CNN. And when they turn around and say Ted Cruz is a liar and this hurts his integrity, hurts his campaign, you know what it hurts? It hurt whatever credibility CNN had left. That's what it hurts. We'll be right back.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Looking at, let's just see this. No, not here. Not here. Not here. Over here. Halftime show, Gay Pride Propaganda Exposed. This is a YouTube video, but it is typical Illuminati fashion. Ah, the Illuminati are behind it. Okay, how about this one? Advocate.com, I mentioned it. 8 Super Bowl moments LGBTs are still talking about. So Lady Gaga's great rendition of the national anthem. She is a well-known LGBT activist. William Defoe dressed in Marilyn Monroe drag. Some are calling it transphobic. Perish the thought. Abby Wambach defied labels in a Mini Cooper commercial. This is a gay car. A bunch of sheep channeled Freddie Mercury and Queen. A man and a marmot have a moment that doesn't end well. Let's see here. Coldplay turned everything rainbow and urged the world to believe in love. Gay activists think it's a pretty clear message being sent out. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to Anjali in Manassas, Virginia. What was your take on the halftime show?
Hi, Dr. Brown. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
I just wanted to let you know, I saw the halftime show. I thought it was a gay moment in the halftime. And when I saw the rainbow shoes on the singer, I said, this has to be advocating gay pride. Also, when I saw the flowers, it advocated free love, like in the back in the 60s, the hippie days.
Right.
And so I just want to let the gay community know, you don't own the rainbow. The rainbow belongs to God. Love is God. And why don't you repent and come into true love? This is how I'm going to phrase it. This is when you thought what the devil meant for evil, God can turn around for good. Repent and get right with God.
Yeah, true love, that's the message of true love. Repent and get right with God. Amen. May it be so. Thank you for weighing in, Anjali. Much appreciated. All right, let's go to Sybil in Boston. Welcome to The Line of Fire. Thanks for calling.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. How are you? Thank you so much for what you do for the body of Christ. I want to talk about the halftime show from a different perspective, and I don't want to sound legalistic, but I want to get your perspective. I know you didn't watch it, and if I was at home, I wouldn't have watched it either, but I was at someone else's home, and I couldn't control their TV. But I'm wondering, why would the body of Christ sit and watch that kind of entertainment? It just bothered me, and I want to have a discussion with the folks that I watched it with, but I just wanted to get your take on that. Do you think that is something that the body of Christ should be subjecting themselves to?
Yeah, well, again, I didn't see it, so I don't know what was in it, but let's just say that when we've heard in the past, say, Beyonce is performing, or Madonna
exactly.
is performing, or this one or that one, I'm assuming there's going to be sensual dancing.
Oh, that
would
definitely.
Be inappropriate for men to watch, not necessarily what you want your daughters watching to emulate, of course. And then, and it's interesting, by the way, that for the first time, just looking at all of our calls, everyone that called in so far has been a woman. We'll get to our first man in a moment.
Okay.
But I think maybe a lot of the men were watching the game, and then by habit, they don't watch the halftime show. Or, you know, if they're Christian men, they saw who's going to be performing and decided not to watch. But I think even if you don't have the lewd dancing and the lewd outfits, you probably have very worldly messages being sent out. You probably have all kinds of trashy stuff that's going out. So,
exactly.
Look, I can appreciate good musicianship. I appreciate it, Lady Gaga's rendition of the American anthem, even though I don't appreciate her as a role model. I think she cares about people, but she's a lost woman in sin, like others that need the gospel.
You know, when she advocates for LGBT things, I think she really cares for people and feels that, they're a persecuted minority and she's standing up for them. I wanted her to find the Lord, but I can appreciate her singing ability. That's a gift from God, and whatever work she put into it, that's that. I could appreciate good musicianship as, you know, someone that got saved playing drums in a rock band, but and I could watch some, if it didn't have lewd dancing, I could watch something from the outside, you know, if it didn't have a good message, I could watch it and think about it and analyze it, but I don't want to be polluted by the world, and therefore, yeah, could I be entertained by it, or would I watch certain things? No, I wouldn't, and here's the sad thing, though, Sybil. Honestly, I think that's probably almost the least of the concerns about the trash that a lot of Christians watch. In other words, a lot of Christians on a regular basis are entertained by stuff far, far worse than that. And it makes you wonder what in the world is going on in the church. Well, because if we're encountering the Lord, when you really meet with the Lord, you're not going to be entertained by worldly stuff.
I agree. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And listen, if we do feel that people are sinning or are compromising, then what we do, we first examine our own hearts and ask the Lord to help us see sin or compromise in our own hearts, and then we pray for others to really draw closer to the Lord and experience His beauty and have a spirit of repentance. Hey, thank you for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. We go over to Carlstadt, New Jersey. Paul, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you? God bless.
Doing very well. Doing well. Thank you.
And just for your determination, or your fight against not only the gay agenda but against sin in general. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Halftime show, I do agree with you. There was a gay agenda there being given, as you said. You know, it was in San Francisco. So there was a gay agenda. I'll take it even further. There was also in my estimation, and maybe I'm overreacting with this, I don't think so, but even in reaction, I believe, to the Oscars, where, you know, there was that diversity issue there. Mm-hmm. You know, when Bruno Mars, you know, they were all dressed in the colors of, that group, the Black Panthers.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah. No, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of talk about that. Absolutely.
And also with Beyonce, if I'm not mistaken, all her dancers were black. And don't get me wrong, Dr. Brown, I understand, do I agree with it? No, but I do understand in terms of where the minorities just come. And I'm a minority. But I do understand but we have to look at life from a Christian perspective, not from an individual or a cultural perspective, from a Christian perspective, as believers. And so I thought it went further, not only the gay agenda, but also the black agenda. And so.
Yeah, and when we say, let's just be clear on one thing.
Okay.
We say gay agenda, there's definitely a gay activist agenda, meaning goals of the major gay activist organizations, things they're fighting for, things that most LGBT people would be sympathetic to, even if they are not activists themselves. When we say, quote, a black agenda, there are plenty of black Americans that are not keen on the Black Lives Matter issue, that would not be happy with Beyonce celebrating Black Panther stuff. So let's just say the radical black agenda.
Okay.
Right. Because
I radical.
No, yeah, and it's not even corrected. I know exactly what you meant, sir, but I want to be very, very careful because there are plenty of African-American listeners thinking, hey, man, don't count me in on a celebration of Black Panthers or, you know, the extremist Black Lives Matters. But we're talking about justice for everybody and fairness in the courts. And, yeah, I mean, that's something we all join together in black and white and stand for. Hey, thank you for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, Gail, stay right there. I've got a break, so I don't want to cut you off in the middle of your sentence. Stay right there. I find it very interesting that folks are saying, no, there was no gay imagery. Now, by the way, some of you watching said you didn't see it. That's fine. I'm not arguing for it. If you saw it and you didn't get that message in the halftime show, perfectly fine. I'm not trying to say you should get it. But for those who say, no, It's not there. What are you, crazy? How in the world could you possibly say that? Well, just tell me why so many gay activist organizations were celebrating this as the most gay-friendly Super Bowl ever. Just tell me why. Are they all getting it wrong? And gay activist organizations, even before the Super Bowl, saying, here are all the reasons it's going to be a great Super Bowl. And it's in San Francisco and on and on. I'm just telling you what they're saying. Major. The biggest gay activist organizations out there. Amazing. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll come right back with your calls right here on the Line of Fire, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, so HRC, Human Rights Campaign, the world's largest gay activist organization. This was leading up to the Super Bowl. Five reasons we're excited for Super Bowl 50. Number one, Lady Gaga singing the national anthem. Number two, Super Bowl 50 is in California. Number three, Beyonce is performing at halftime. Number four, the ads. Number five, Levi's Stadium is close to San Francisco. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Gail in Boston. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thanks for taking my call, Dr. Brown.
You bet.
I have a few comments, so if you can bear with me, okay?
Go for it.
First of all, football is full of violence.
Mm-hmm.
That poisons our young kids' mind. When you couple that with sex, that's on the screen. If every Christian made a stand and refused to turn on the Super Bowl game, the ratings would go down and perhaps the Super Bowl would be off the air. And that would take care of that.
Got it. So both the violence of the sport and the worldly nature of the halftime shows, let alone the cheerleaders. Got it. Hey, Gail.
It's disgusting.
Got it.
It's disgusting.
Hey, listen, I have to say that the couple times I've been able to see a professional football game over the years, that one time just in the stands where I was sitting, put aside the violence of the game, we'll put that aside entirely, but I had to constantly look away from the cheerleaders. I mean, they were very sensual and the dances were very sensual. And there is a lot of worldly culture, even if the game itself is a great game and the violence wasn't an issue, but then you add in the worldly entertainment. Yeah, hey, Gail, thank you for weighing in. You raise a whole lot of issues, but you've got your viewpoint out. Thank you for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Anthony and Chet. All right, tell you what, we're going to stay in Boston. I think this is a related call, so we're going to stay in Boston in a moment here. 866-348-7884. Looking at an article on The Blaze, did the Super Bowl halftime show promote gay marriage? The moment that has some claiming that LGBT love was touted. While AFP reported that Coldplay was paying tribute to the 1960s counterculture in San Francisco, the host city of Sunday's Super Bowl, others saw a more specific and pointed message embedded in the performance, one that backed same-sex relationships. Here's how the Guardian's Needham described the show's finale. Finally, the whole stadium held up a rainbow of cards, some spelling out the words believe in love, perhaps also a sweet affirmation of same-sex marriage. Hey, just sharing what others are seeing and reporting. We go to Joe in Boston. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, I've been listening to your show. I've just heard it for the first time. I really like it.
Thank you.
Engaging for Christian-y type people like myself. I'm not affiliated with any church or anything, but I love listening to it. I'm going to start listening regular.
And, awesome.
I have a question because the Super Bowl, the halftime show, I watched it with a friend. I go, we're not watching the halftime show. Let's click out and go. We went and watched something else on cable. But it's slightly pornographic, And in the past ones have been, maybe they toned it down this time, but it leads to a bigger question. I remember under the Reagan administration that he had people in the Attorney General's office who were fighting pornography. Then when Clinton came in, we all know who he is, he stopped it. And I'd like to know if we could ever get a movement going. I would like to have my tax dollars fighting pornography on the Internet. People say it can't be done. And I just see young people that you were talking about, the millennials and stuff, just getting devoured by pornography and salacious images.
Yeah, I mean, it is so pervasive. Look, Playboy has stopped featuring nudity in their magazines, not because people are not into it, but because it's everywhere. You have all of this free porn on the Internet. It is so ubiquitous. And look, you know, I'm a guy. I'm a male, a normal heterosexual male. I'm just going to relax a little bit, you know, check up on sports. And here's, you know, it's not a nude picture of some gal, but it's like, well, I didn't ask for that. And then I'm going to read some news story, and here's, you know, an ad that pops up, and it's something else, you know, it's a sensual picture. And then,
right.
It's everywhere, the objectifying of women as sexual objects. And, you know, we've gone after this years back in grocery stores, just by saying, why do you have to have Cosmopolitan and these other things, you know, at checkout? Why put it somewhere else in the store, but don't bombard us with that checkout? Of course, they pay to be positioned there. I believe that first and foremost, sir, the way to combat pornography is starting in the church with healthy sexual attitudes and with cleaning up our own act, with having people be honest about it, whether you're a pastor or you're a congregant, saying, hey, we've got issues here. We need to deal with it decisively and clearly. If it means taking time out of ministry, if it means getting professional help, we need to address it. We need to talk about it. It's a total plague, Joe. I mean, kids 7, 8, 9 years old are getting exposed to pornography on a regular basis. It's having a disastrous effect. And whatever the government can do, obviously there are only certain things that can be completely banned from the Internet, you know, child pornography and those kinds of things. So there has to be more of a moral revolution. But, Joe, I'm all for it, whatever can be done by the government as well. And I was just pulling up some articles on that the other day. I do plan to address it. We have in the past on the show, but to address it again. And then with practical guidelines for everyone listening that struggles in those areas, say, okay, here's what you can do to get help. Hey, thank you for listening on WEZE, our great Boston station, 2 to 3, Monday to Friday. All right, friends, our special resource offer this week, my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, the book the publishers were afraid to touch. We had to form our own publishing house to put it out. Since then, 3 publishers apologized to me for not publishing the book. It's done great. It's 700 pages, 1,500 endnotes from what's happening in children's schools, to where society is going, to what's happening in the courts, to how the Bible has been rewritten in the most profane ways. The book and my debate with Rabbi Shmuley, Is Homosexuality America's Greatest Moral Crisis? It would normally be $40 plus postage. Today, $30 postage paid. But if you could help with an additional gift, we want to send out free copies of my newest book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, to legislators in one particular state that have already been impacted by the book. Now we've been asked to send out 30 to 35 more. Would you help us do that? If you could help with an additional gift, $50, $100, we'll send you this, and your additional gift will go to distributing more books into the hands of legislators where they'll make a difference. So call now, 1-800-278-9978. Just order the special resource offer, and then add in whatever other gift you can. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Take advantage of the special offer, then help with an additional contribution. My bottom line today, there's no question the world is depraved. The world, according to Scripture, is under the power of the evil one. But we in Jesus overcome the world. Well, it feels like the world is going mad all around us. Fear not. Your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity is right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. We had a very lively first hour. We talked about CNN's continual cover-up of its guilt in disseminating wrong information. We've got a video, in fact, just looking at a website where it just got posted. Very, very important to get the truth out about CNN, whatever credibility it had. It is rapidly losing that credibility with its ongoing attacks and cover-ups. We talked about that. We talked about the Super Bowl. If you watched the halftime show, if you felt it was sending out a gay-friendly, gay-positive message. So, in fact, you can call in on that. I'll take some calls, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. But I'm not going to focus on that. I want to talk about more cultural madness, friends. I was talking to Nancy late last night, my bride of almost 40 years. And I said to her, you know, it's encouraging on a certain level to see how crazy things are, because it reminds us that this world is not our eternal home. It reminds us that this world really is confused, that this world really is in darkness, that this world really is under the power of the evil one. 1 John 5:9, we are of God, little children, and the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world, or the God of this age, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. There is a spiritual battle. These are people whom we love, for whom Jesus died. According to Ephesians 2, every one of us at one time before we knew the Lord, we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. We were following other powers and spiritual forces. We were by nature children of wrath. While we were yet ungodly, the Messiah died for us. So when I look at those who are lost and in rebellion, I don't look at them with hatred. I look at them with pain, and I want them to know the Lord. I want them to experience forgiveness and new life in Jesus. At the same time, I will expose the lies. I will speak to the darkness, and I will encourage us to think with clarity as the people of God. Hey, if we're going to be the salt of the earth, we've got to stay salty. If we're going to be the light of the world, we have to continue to shine brightly. If we are all defiled, you ever have, maybe a light bulb, maybe you're in a third world country, and the only lamp that you have in your room is a light bulb, and that thing is filthy, and there's not much light coming out of it, and you got all the bugs hanging on it. Well, if that's the state of our faith, if that's the state of our walk with the Lord, whatever light is in us is not going to shine out brightly, will it? Not the most pleasant image, but just trying to get a point across. So what I want to focus on beginning now is the absolute moral, intellectual, emotional bankruptcy of the pro-abortion movement. If you're listening to me and you've had an abortion, I hope that you've received forgiveness for that and that you've received healing in your own heart and life through what Jesus did on the cross. And I hope that you've been able to move forward. If you're still struggling with the guilt of abortion, I want to tell you that whether you're a woman, you aborted your child, or the father of that child that was complicit in the abortion or maybe pushed for it, there is forgiveness for you. Jesus died for every sin, including abortion and a million other sins. And if you'll say, God, I recognize my sin, forgive me, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I believe Jesus paid the price for my sins and died and rose from the dead. I want to live for you. I want to be your child. He'll reach out to you right now wherever you are, even driving in your car. He'll reach out to you. We'll come back with some of the most crazy stuff you've ever heard. Trust me, I don't exaggerate.
Fire we please, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Man, I just spotted this now. I didn't ask my team to look for this earlier, and I just spotted this. I would have loved to have played it, but I can't do it right here. Oh, it's President Obama's message to NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League. It's NARAL, I always see it in writing. I don't think it's NARAL. NARAL, right pronunciation. When you hear how radical they are, when you hear how extreme they are, and you realize that President Obama stands with NARAL, you recognize why we are in such desperate shape here in America. Okay, so in the last week, two tweets were sent out, short messages on the internet, that are so shocking, so revealing, so extreme, that it tells you that the pro-abortion movement, in many ways, has lost its mind and its heart. Now, let me say this plainly. I understand that there are sincere people who say we're not pro-abortion, we don't like abortion, but this woman was raped. This woman is so poor, she's got three kids already. She was irresponsible, fine, but she can't afford to care for a fourth kid. The first three are living in squalor already. She struggled with it, she agonized, she's a religious woman, but she cannot see bringing another child into the world. And this one, look, it's Down syndrome child. You're going to have that birth. I understand that there are people who will say, that look, it's compassion. Oh, I reject the arguments. I reject the arguments. Not everyone involved let's say this, the majority of women who have abortions are not radical feminists, but you got a whole lot of radical feminists in groups like Planned Parenthood, in groups like NARAL, okay? And that is not an exaggeration whatsoever. And they are not just radical, they are proudly radical. So how far does this stuff go? Are you ready? Are you ready? Cosmopolitan tweeted this out February 4th. Now, if you look for the tweet, it doesn't exist anymore. They pulled it. When you pull it, that means you're embarrassed by it. It's getting too much negative attention. It does more harm than good, so you pull it. Every so often, I've tweeted something and realized I had a major typo. Ooh, that's not good. And because it hadn't circulated a lot, I immediately deleted it. One time, I sent out a news link that had been sent to me by a reliable source, only to find out shortly afterwards that it was not an accurate news link. So I deleted it, and then I sent out a separate tweet apologizing. But otherwise, you put out what you put out, and there it is. When you delete it, that's saying something. Okay? So they sent out this message February 4th. Are you ready? I'm not making this up. This is not Satire Hour. This is not Saturday Night Live on radio on Monday afternoon. Okay? This is not Mad Magazine. I used to read it when I was a boy. Probably more raunchy now. I used to read it when I was a boy, and it was all satire. This is not Mad Magazine on radio. And if it's gotten completely raunchy, forgive me for even mentioning that illustration. This is real stuff I'm about to read to you. Okay? Texas women are having more babies since Planned Parenthood was defunded, followed by a sad face. You know, the emoji, these images, a sad face. Texas women are having more babies since Planned Parenthood was defunded, followed by a sad face, and it's linked to a picture featuring the graphic Stand with Planned Parenthood. Hashtag Stand with PP. Stand with Planned Parenthood. And here is here are a bunch of ladies. They're standing behind a banner. Hashtag Stand with PP. Stand with Planned Parenthood. Texas women are, let me say it with the right intonation. Texas women are having more babies since Planned Parenthood was defunded. Texas women are having more babies since Planned Parenthood was defunded. How awful, how terrible. Friends, the tragedy of it all. Oh, here comes biting sarcasm. Oh, the utter tragedy of it all. Texas women are having more babies. Perish the thought. More children are being spared the horrors of abortion, being sliced up, burned up, sucked into pieces in the womb, and are seeing the light of day. Oh, the horror. More mothers and fathers are holding precious little human beings in their arms, crying with joy at the new life they produce. What could be more terrible? Friends, does that grieve you the way that grieves me? Does that strike you the way it strikes me? Is there anything shouting out any more loudly and clearly that we have embraced a culture of death? That we have embraced a culture of death rather than a culture of life? Is it any wonder that the same generation that saw the legalizing of Roe v. Wade also saw a massive uptick in teen suicide, also saw a massive uptick in death-related entertainment? Is there any possible connection? All right, gets worse. And all you mothers who had miscarriages and to this day are wounded and pained by it, the loss of that child, even within the first 3-4 months, you shake your heads and say, they're upset that they're having more babies. All you women listening who are infertile, all you men listening who are unable to produce children, maybe you're a married couple, you hear this saying, they're upset that women are having more babies since Planned Parenthood was defunded? Is that sick or what? And this is Cosmopolitan. This is Cosmopolitan. When I first saw the tweet, I clicked on it to see if it was authentic. And it went right to the Cosmopolitan page. That's some lewd pictures. Like, oh, come on. Some bathing suit pictures. Like, oh, I didn't, come on. And just scroll down, saw the thing was there, took a screenshot and got out of there. And then others quoted it and cited it. And now when you click on it, it's not there. Disappeared. Not their Twitter page, but that particular tweet is gone. But it gets worse. You say, how much worse could it get than that? How much worse could it get bemoaning the idea that women are having more babies? How much worse could it get? It gets worse. It gets worse. All right, so NARAL, National Abortion Rights Action League, they decided that during the Super Bowl, they were going to tweet out their thoughts on different Super Bowl commercials, okay? In fact, let me go over to their Twitter feed. I looked at it earlier, and it was just so amazingly revealing. Let's see here. Scroll down to NARAL. All right, let me get to the right place here. Here we go. So let's take a look at some of their other tweets over the course of the Super Bowl. They were going to tweet out criticisms of anything that they felt were any ads that were sexist or transphobic. You ready? Sexist or transphobic. Hey, Hyundai, taking away your daughter's autonomy and stalking her on a date isn't funny. I'm sorry. It's hard for me to relate to this stuff being serious. Not cool, Hyundai. Let's see. So that they didn't like. I thought that was actually a cute commercial. Taking away your daughter's autonomy. Oh God. Great job, Michelob Ultra, showing women athletes and emphasizing how hard they work instead of treating them like objects. Snickers, what was up with that commercial? Transphobic and implies women okay with being objectified as long as they have snacks. I missed that one. And then, here's the one I want to talk about. Doritos. We come back, I'll play a clip with some of the audio from that. Doritos ad. Here's what it's about. You've got a pregnant woman. She's getting an ultrasound of her, quote, beautiful baby. The dad is standing by munching on Doritos. And, you know, they're eating Doritos while having an ultrasound. She says, really, you're eating Doritos? And then the child on the ultrasound, the unborn child, sensing when the father's waving a Doritos near the belly, he tries to reach out for it. And next thing he goes, trying to reach out, comes out of, he's born unexpectedly. I mean, that's what's implied. It was silly commercial. NARAL didn't like it. You will not believe what they had to say. Stay tuned.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And there's your beautiful baby.
Any day now.
Really? You're eating Doritos? He's eating Doritos on my ultrasound.
Ah, all right. Hey, can I tell you, I remember while our second daughter Megan was being born at home, that we had home births with both of our kids, which was highly unusual almost 40 years ago when we did it, but that's what Nancy wanted to do, and I was very happy to stand with her. And, you know, difficult, long labor and midwife at the house and checking out for a while, then coming back. It was close to Christmas, and one of our friends was over to help with the birth and help Nancy, and I was there, and we were sitting in the room eating, trying to eat quietly. Of course, Nancy didn't want to eat through all this difficult time. And we're trying to eat quietly. And talk about mega disturbing. So you see that here's the guy eating the Doritos during the ultrasound. It's obviously not labor, but still, like, you're eating Doritos now? So it's comical. All right? It's comical. And by the way, Doritos, you're not going to throw stuff, oh, sexist and transphobic and homophobic they are and all this, because they actually had gay rainbow-colored Doritos last year in honor of gay pride. Yeah, they did that. Special edition Doritos. So here's what they tweet out. They get upset with this. They get upset with this ad, and here's what they say. Hashtag not buying it. That Doritos ad using hashtag anti-choice tactic of humanizing fetuses and sexist tropes of dads as clueless and moms as uptight. They use Doritos anti-choice tactic of humanizing fetuses. What? What universe are we living in? These are fellow Americans, fellow human beings for whom Jesus died, tweeting out absolute nonsense. This is worse than nonsense. This is worse than nonsense. Okay, let's deal with the minor thing first. The sexist tropes of dads as clueless and moms as uptight. That's sexist. It is not sexist to say that a man with his wife at the first ultrasound doesn't exactly feel like he's done this 1,000 times before and know all the do's and don'ts. And that is not sexist. That is normal human life. It's like saying it's sexist for more men to have long beards than women. No, it's not sexist. That's human life. And men in general are better in certain things than women and worse in others. And women in general are better at certain things and worse in others. It's not sexist to say it. It's just recognizing generalities. And why is it that you can joke around, tell jokes to husbands and wives, and everybody's laughing because the husband's like, oh, yeah, that's the way I am. And the wife's like, yeah, that's the way he is. And then the husband's like, yeah, that's the way she is. And the wife's, yeah, that's the way I am. because there are general societal tendencies. And here, watch this. Everybody listen carefully. You're about to get breaking news here, straight from Dr. Michael Brown. Are you ready? Michael Brown to Earth. It is not sexist to say that only women can get pregnant. You said that's crazy. That's sexist. That's something phobic. No, that's real life. That's normal life. Only a woman can conceive a child. Only a woman can carry a child through pregnancy. Only a woman is prepared to nurture that child within through pregnancy. Only a woman can then give birth to that child. Only a woman could then nurse that child. And there are certain things about a woman and her intuition and her understanding of that child that will always be different than the father's. They can love that child equally and both be willing to lay down their lives for that child and both have an equally important role in that child's life. And the wife may be an athlete and the husband may be a painter. It doesn't have to be a stereotypical thing where you know, the wife is, I love ballet, and the husband's like, let's go out and fight. It doesn't have to be like that, all right? It doesn't have to be like that. But there's a difference between the sexes. And it's not sexist to say it, and it's not sexist to have a little fun with a guy doing something that lacks a little sensitivity during an ultrasound. I bet it's happened more than once before. I bet they didn't create that completely out of whole cloth. Hence, more of the laughs. And, it is not sexist to say that some moms or moms may be uptight. Moms may be uptight, especially during their first ultrasound. This is a big deal. You're going to see the baby? You're going to see the baby moving around in the womb there? That's a big deal. And it's, you know, it's a procedure that's being done also. And how is the baby? Does the baby look okay? And is everything all right? I would expect that quite a few mothers are a little on edge. They're excited, but they're a little on edge. So, I mean, this radical war against gender, this radical war against the sexes, this blurring of gender lines is, I'll say it, it's demonic. Hey, friends at Right Wing Watch, quote me on that. This attack on gender, this attempt to blur gender lines. Brian, you got a personal call out from me. Shout out, buddy. All with a smile. Quote me on it. The blurring of gender lines, the attack on gender distinctions, the war on the gender binary is demonic because God created us male and female. And the exceptions to the rule, those difficult biological and chromosomal exceptions, that's a handicap like anything else. We treat it with compassion, but we don't change the norm based on that. All right, when we come back, we'll get to the real horror of this tweet, humanizing fetuses. Friends, if you appreciate this voice that you're hearing, if you appreciate the work that we put into this show, the efforts that we make to serve as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, then by all means, stand with us today. Here's a great way to do it. You'll be blessed and you can help us. Take advantage of my special resource offer. My book, 700 pages, 1,500 endnotes, the book the publishers were afraid to touch, A Queer Thing Happened to America, together with my debate with Rabbi Shmuley, Is Homosexuality America's Greatest Moral Crisis? An eye-opening debate. Normally $40 plus postage. This week only $30 postage paid. But if you could help with an additional gift, if you could make that $50 or $100, every dime will go to advancing the cause of what we're doing. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the line of fire. If you've ever felt like pulling your hair out because you're so frustrated by the craziness happening in the world around you, don't pull your hair out. Don't pull your hair out. Instead, listen carefully, and we will bring truth in the midst of confusion. We will be your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos, a church all too often in compromise. If you live, work anywhere in, near Greater Charlotte, North Carolina, if you go in and out of North Carolina, by all means, go to don'tdoitcharlotte.com. There is no apostrophe there, D-O-N-T, don'tdoitcharlotte.com. Please do it as soon as possible. Sign the petition, get involved. It'll all be clear when you get there. So, during halftime, Super Bowl yesterday, NARAL, National Abortion Rights Action League, a league that President Obama commands radical pro-abortion, radical feminist, they are tweeting out their comments through Super Bowl on the commercials, what they feel were sexist, what they feel were transphobic. I mean, it really gives you a window into the craziness of some of their views. They're upset with Audi. You couldn't find a single female astronaut to feature in your ad. They're upset with Buick. Really? Buick? Women fighting over a wedding bouquet? That was the best you could come up with? Let's see here. Hyundai, they're upset with again. In their world, women are bad drivers who get distracted by the mere sight of a man. Let's see. And then they're really keen on so-and-so's kickoff of the Janelle Monáe's kickoff of the Pepsi halftime show. Okay, calling attention to domestic violence. Glad for that. Believe in love. They like that. A lot of gay activists are celebrating that. They're all into, you know, the various Amy Wambach, the American soccer star, and she mentions a car that's, you know, it's a gay car and stuff, and they like that. So they're positive on a few of the ads, and they are very upset with some of the others. I mean, it's mind-boggling to see how radical they are. And they're tweeting out, you know, all of these, quote, anti-choice extremist tweets as well. And the one that got my attention, I wrote an article on it. If you have not seen my article, go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article. It is NARAL being very upset with Doritos for their ad that shows a baby in the womb in the ultrasound reaching for the Doritos chips that the dad is eating. As a result of it, the baby is apparently born. That's what happens because it's trying to reach out and grab the Doritos. They're very upset with it. Not buying it, that Doritos ad using anti-choice tactic of humanizing fetuses. How? And then, and sexist tropes of dads as clueless and moms as uptight. I talked about the outrageous sexist trope things in the last segment. You can catch that by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, later today and clicking on latest broadcast. You say, no, somebody made this up. NARAL didn't post this. No, they did. And it's still on their site. They haven't pulled it, despite the ridicule they're getting. No one in their right mind thinks like this, not even NARAL. NARAL is not in its right mind. Let me say again, these are women, primarily women, there may be men involved, but women for whom Jesus died. These are people we pray for, and some of them are not just angry. Some of them are not just furious. Some of them are hurting women. They are covering up the pain of abortion. They are covering up the pain of rape. They're covering up other pain, and it comes out in anger. And if we can get behind that, we'll see needy people. But this idea that an ad featuring an ultrasound where the baby can experience and feel certain things is guilty of humanizing fetuses, that's one of the sickest things I've ever heard, seen in my life. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. NARAL is upset with a commercial, a silly Doritos commercial. Doritos, which had gay rainbow-colored Doritos last year in celebration of gay pride. Doritos is guilty of sexist images of men and women and of using anti-choice tactics of humanizing the fetus. Have you ever heard anything this ugly, this cold, this... Talk about humanizing. How about NARAL dehumanizing itself? Wow. There is a reason, friends, that the vast majority of women who see their ultrasound choose not to abort their babies. In fact, can I ask you, if you're a mom listening, a mom in particular, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, how did you feel when you saw your first ultrasound? Now, if you're as old as I am, we didn't have ultrasounds in those days, and you didn't know you're having a boy or girl till the baby was born, right? You'd have all the theories. Oh, you're carrying low. That's a girl. Oh, you look like this. That's a boy. Oh, you're. I mean, we have all these different theories that ask, and you know, we had the name picked out if it was a boy, if it was a girl, and then the baby's born. It's a girl. That was what we heard twice. It's a girl. It's a boy. So, how did you feel when you saw your first ultrasound? If you're a mom listening, 866-348-7884. Maybe, and I don't want to push this, but perhaps you're listening and you actually considered having an abortion. And when you saw the ultrasound, that changed your mind, because the latest report I looked at, said that 78% of women who have ultrasounds choose not to abort their baby. 78%. It's one of the most effective, pro-life methods there is to get someone to look at the ultrasound. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll take your call shortly. There is a reason that the vast majority of women who see their ultrasound choose not to abort their babies. There's a reason that expectant moms send out pictures of that ultrasound with the exciting news. It's a boy or it's a girl. Look at the little hands, the little feet, the little nose, the ears. Look. You even say, oh, it looks just like I could see dad in there. I could see the mom in there. You're not humanizing a fetus any more than you were humanizing a Jew during the Holocaust by saying, don't murder that person in cold blood, any more than you were humanizing a slave during the slave trade by saying, that's a fellow human being, don't sell them like chattel. There's a reason the wife grabs her husband's hand and puts it on her stomach as the baby jumps inside so he can experience a little of what she's feeling as that bundle of new life moves around. There's a reason many parents pick a name for their child as soon as they hear whether they're having a boy or a girl, even though there are a few months to go before the little one makes its appearance. There's a reason some women will mourn for years over a miscarriage, even if it took place in the early months of a pregnancy. And there's a reason that pro-abortionists fight so strenuously against laws requiring abortion clinics to show the mother an ultrasound before going ahead with the murderous act. It's because that fetus is a human being, carefully formed and made, full of life and potential, the unique creation of God. Unique creation of God and that mother and father. We're not humanizing fetuses. We're telling the truth about babies in the womb. NARAL, in attacking that, is dehumanizing itself. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Donna in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thank you for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I was calling regarding your question about how you felt when you saw your first ultrasound. And I was raised in a godly Christian home, but unfortunately I went out, like a lot of people do, and did my own thing and was pregnant out of wedlock. And at the time I was 19, And, of course, my parents were very upset about it. And my mother asked me if I considered abortion. Well, I told her I thought about it, but there's just no way I could do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it because I've always felt that the child from the moment of conception was a child. Anyway, when I went ahead on with the pregnancy and I had my first ultrasound, and this is back 1980 when they weren't very clear, but I could see the outline of the baby, and of course the tech showed me how clear and what was what. You know, there's an arm, there's a foot, there's the head. There's just no way that I could ever dream of terminating that pregnancy.
Yeah, yeah.
The first time I heard the child's heartbeat was way before the ultrasound, and I knew then life was in me.
Yeah, and aren't you so glad that you didn't have an abortion?
Oh, I'm so thankful. I can't imagine having to live with that.
Yeah.
My son is now, he's going to be 35 in April, and I can't imagine life without him.
Yeah. Hey, Donna, thank you for weighing in. And as always, to the moms who've had abortions, there is forgiveness at the cross. Jesus died for that sin, too. He can even take away the pain and use you as an ambassador for life. You don't have to live with the constant torment. Sir, if you were complicit in aborting your child years ago, you don't have to live with constant torment. There is a place of forgiveness if you cry out to God. That's why Jesus died on the cross. We're all guilty. We all fall short. His blood can cleanse you, remove the pain of that guilt, and give you new hope in life. And if you say, but I got to do something, I took a life, there's so many constructive things you can do to make a difference. Let's go to Tracy in Plano, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, good afternoon. Doctor, I just wanted to weigh in on the fact that today is actually my son's birthday, and I still have his ultrasound from when I first found out about him, me being pregnant. And I just,
How old is he today?
He's 17.
17, okay.
Yes.
And you still have the ultrasound from over 17 years ago.
Yes. And I was just so excited, and I went out and started immediately buying books and would, try to time about the, try to figure out the time that his heart would start beating. And I was just so overjoyed. Now, previously, I'd had a miscarriage from a relationship that where I was not married. And truthfully, I did not want to have a baby by this man. But still, I would never have gone through with an abortion. However, it seems as if God, I won't say that he took the baby or anything like that, but he didn't allow the pregnancy to come to fruition. And I'm looking forward to even that day when I can see that unborn child, in heaven. So
yeah.
I just wanted to say that I do not understand the mindset of any woman that can see an ultrasound, see a small little head and the even the funny little shape of the baby and determine that it's just a lump or a mass. That's a different spirit, and I'm not sure what kind of spirit that is, but I don't know.
There's something terribly wrong, Tracy. It defies imagination. It defies logic. And, something very interesting, my wife Nancy was just saying this to me before I left for radio today. You think of a NARAL-type group, they would certainly be against teaching creationism in the schools. They'd be, no, evolution is science and we're scientific. And I know they don't really take stands on those issues, but they'd be totally pro-science, pro-evolution, pro-this, pro-that. Well, science tells you about the life of that baby in the womb. Science tells you about the intricate development of that child and when they can start to experience this and when the heart's beating and when they feel this and when they feel that. And again, just now that you're getting 3D ultrasounds and 4D ultrasounds and things like that, boy, it's impossible to deny. Look, I'm a man, but I've spoken to enough women, and they can't relate to this mentality either. There's something very wrong. There's something very ugly, something very blinding. Because of which we really need to pray we need to stand and do everything we can for life. We need to pray for a wave of repentance and salvation among these radical feminists and for God to heal their wounds, those that are wounded, deliver them from their anger and rebellion, and bring them to salvation, just as he had mercy on us. And while we pray for them, we work tirelessly to stand for life. All right, stay right there. We'll be back with your calls on the other side of the break. 866-348-7884, the number to call. Read my article and circulate it to your friends by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on latest article. We'll be back. Got a few more minutes. We want to make every minute count right here on The Line of Fire.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, number to call. Hey, please join me in helping to expose CNN's lies and deceptions by circulating my video where I call out CNN. I'm not yelling or screaming. I'm laying out the facts. I've interacted with them privately. Their interaction was very disappointing, to be perfectly honest with you, and all the more confirmed how much they're unwilling to see their complicity in sending out wrong information about Dr. Ben Carson, and in their blatantly calling Ted Cruz a liar and his campaign giving out, quote, BS. They are ultimately doing more to hurt themselves than anyone else. So help circulate that video. Go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on latest videos, and then just you'll see it. Dr. Brown calls out CNN. Just recorded it at home. It's not in our normal studio, just with a cell phone at home, but it's clear. Send it out to as many people as possible. We'll do the hard work. We'll do the legwork. We'll produce the material. You help share it, all right? 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to Christian in Dallas, Texas. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment about the ad and with NARAL. The definition of a fetus, the legal definition, is an unborn child. So basically, they're blaming Doritos for humanizing a child which is human. That's
yeah.
The logic that these
yeah, I mean, if it, okay, humanizing it, so what is it then? If it's not human, what is it?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, obviously they mean giving it the qualities of a human being when to them it's just a mass of tissue. It's just odd that that mass of tissue looks like a human being. It's odd that that mass of tissue has hands and feet and a beating heart. It's odd that that mass of tissue reacts to things and responds to things. Very odd, because just a mass of tissue lying on a lab floor doesn't do that. So, of course, what you're saying is absolutely
the director,
true. Yes.
The director of the of the commercial, the guy who made the commercial,
yeah,
the picture of the baby on the sonogram is his actual kid.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow, how did you find that out? Is it being reported widely?
I was on the ACLJ this morning with Jay Sekulow.
Wow.
They have it confirmed.
That is
the guy
amazing.
Who made the video, he said that's actually a picture of his own kid.
How dare he humanize his child in the womb, who's now a child outside the room? How dare a father do that? We need to get NARAL after him in particular, because that's that's really bad. Hey, Christian, awesome information. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Yes, sir.
All right. You too. 866-34-TRUTH. Jerry in Louisville, Texas. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. God bless you for you and all of the shows that report truth to try to stem the tide of what really is just pure sin. A lot of people don't understand the methods of the enemy and how he produces lies and propaganda and those type of things. But I have 2 points that I want to share with you. Number one, one of the latest thought processes with doctors is that if they can figure out how to allow our cells to produce like they produced in the early parts of our lives, then a lot of recovery is possible in the body, because the basic way that we live is through cell multiplication, and including going back to that first division of the egg and the sperm, the zygote, when it first multiplies, that's the beginning of life. And so the doctors, on the one hand, will admit that through cell multiplication, if they can manipulate the cells to generate healthy enough, then recovery in the body will heal itself. But I'd like to share some information with you that a lot of people don't know. There are laws in this land that govern certain things like wheat in the Midwest and grain that says that unless you have corn or wheat that has been grandfathered in, you're only allowed to plant government-regulated grain because they realize the importance of the grain. And if the government has enough sense to say we only want a certain product, and it goes all the way back to grain that is even on the shelf, the importance is in that ungerminated grain. How can you say that when you plant grass seed or you plant corn seed to gain a product, but then when it comes to the early stages of human life,
Don't call it human. See, that's, yeah, of course, sir. Of course. Your right. Points are wonderfully clearly taken, as our last caller said, and now you're giving us just the more scientific ammunition for that. Well, if it's a grass seed, are you grassifying the grass seed to call it grass? Are you dogifying the dog puppy in the womb to call it a dog, you know, canonizing, whatever? Yeah, and you're saying, sir, that science is looking at the earliest development of a human being in the womb, not a nine-month-old baby about to emerge from the womb, or 9 months in the womb about to emerge. But you're saying right at the beginning, they're seeing things that are important for understanding human biology and even human health.
Right. Well, in the early stages of human development, you know, they say we just have, this is where stem cell research come from. In other words, stem cells have the ability, if manipulated properly, and I don't know if manipulated is the right word, but to our hearts develop out of cells that are designated for the heart. Our livers generate out of cells that are designated to become liver. And so what they're trying to do is, if they can understand that science and apply it to adults or people who are ailing, they can cause the body to then begin to reproduce healthy cells in a liver or in a heart that is deteriorating. Because yeah. We have it in us, it's just that the body changes as we age.
And so just to jump in, I'm sorry, just because I've got the end of the show coming up. Obviously, when we talk about stem cell research, things like that, the things that need to be done have been done successfully, not with aborted baby parts, which, of course, Jerry was not advocating at all, but using adult body parts, we have been able to make progress as opposed to using aborted baby parts. But the thing that's fascinating is you're talking about a human being from the very first day. Thank you, sir, for calling in. Much appreciated. You're talking about a human being from the very first day. Share my article. Get it out. Don't be frustrated. Let's pray for the salvation conversion of many of these women, of these radical feminist pro-abortion groups, and that they would truly esteem life and that they would understand the value of life and the sin of abortion and find forgiveness at the cross. Stand with us today, friends. We could really use your help. We are involved in a lot of projects that need funding, and all the money that's coming in, we send it right back out on the front line. Stand with me today. Take advantage of this week's special resource offer, my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, 700 pages, with a passionate debate with Rabbi Shmuley about homosexuality. We've reduced the cost. Take advantage of it. Help with an extra gift by going to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, the fanatical, radical feminist, pro-abortion mentality is what happens when you reject the culture of life.